We're going to be reading in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. We're continuing on our series called The Way, and I'm going to ask Jordan Strickland to come on up. She's going to come, and that was really hard for me to say. It is Jordan Goen. For those of you who don't know, this is my daughter, but her name is Jordan Strickland. She's going to be reading our passage today from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. If you would you stand in the honor of the reading of God's word today?
Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jordan. Jordan and her husband, Kyle, they serve at the Smyrna campus, and she's on different campuses leading. I have a son, for those of you who don't know, his name is Peyton. He lives in New York, and he is involved with a marketing firm there. And then I have a younger son named Evan and his wife, Grace, who are also at the Smyrna campus serving. Evan and his wife, Grace, they're expecting their very first child. And it wasn't long ago that I began to realize, I've got to redo all of the childproofing that we did back in the day. You know what I'm talking about. All those little socket covers where you put those things in them and make sure those are covered over, and you go around and you make sure that everything is like so high so that they can't reach and get it, all those little breakable things. My younger niece, when she was really small, she would come to our house, and, you know, kids, it's hard to keep up with them, and she's going around, she's checking in everybody's room, and periodically she would find something that was really enticing for her. It could be a piece of candy in one of the kids' room. It could be some coins or something. But all you wouldn't know where she is, but all of a sudden you would hear her come running out, holding her hand. She'd go, "Treasure!" You know, as small and insignificant as I found that to be, her mind just found something that was incredible. She grasped it, and she was holding on to that. Listen, today we're turning to this passage in chapter 6, continuing on, and Jesus moves and begins to start meddling. He kind of starts tiptoeing in, and he's going to start kind of undoing the house a little bit. He's going to start talking about our wallet. He's going to start talking about our money. He's going to start talking about our treasure. Now, some of you, if you're a guest here today, you're going, "Great, I walked in," and you're going to start talking about money. Well, I want you to hear this. This is more than like just money. This is about heart. This is the very thing that he's talking about today, and he's using money as an illustration of that. You know, over the last three weeks, we've been talking about our motivation. Jesus has been talking about our motivation for worship. And he's been exposing the Pharisees, the religious elite in this series. And what he was exposing was their motivation, why they worshiped. Remember, we've talked about their giving, their prayer, and their fasting. And he says, and he's pointed out to us, that their whole reason for worship was me. Look at me. They, in essence, they would walk into an area and they would go, "See me give, see me pray, see me fast. This is all about me." Now, that wasn't really how they did that, but that was the motivation of their heart, because Jesus knows us, because he created us and he could see into us. And you know what Jesus does now is he moves from worship to wallet. He moves from worship to wallet. You know, there's an old saying from pastors, and maybe you've heard this before, is that the last thing to get baptized is a person's wallet. It's almost like when they go down, they're like, "Uh-oh, no, I'm going to keep this out of the water. This is the last thing." Because, and it's not a coincidence that he moves from our motivation directly to how we handle our money. Because you know what? typically what motivates us, all of us, is our wallet, our money, our finances. Because what we're doing when Jesus begins to talk about our treasure, when Jesus begins to talk about our possessions, when Jesus begins to talk about our money, he's not as concerned about our money as he is our heart. You realize that, because what we do is we take our money, our treasure, our possessions, and that's where many of us pour our security. We find our security in what we stockpile, what we hoard, what we have. And so Jesus begins to talk about this right here. He sets his sights in on how it is that these hillside believers, these hillside learners, the ones who are sitting on the mountain listening, he begins to say, hey, listen, let's begin to talk about where we really, really live in this moment. This morning, as we listen to him teach, as we listen to this sermon, as he moves in, there are a few points that I want you to see real quickly. And we're gonna walk right through this passage. And I want you to see them. If you're taking some notes, I want you to write these things down. The three things that we're gonna see, oddly enough, deal with twos: two kingdoms, two visions, and two masters. Two kingdoms, two visions, and two masters. So with that, let's talk about the two kingdoms. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21 again so that you can get this in context here. So here's what we see. Verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is challenging again, as he has done for the last 3 weeks, our motivation. He's challenging our motivation for where we're storing up things. And did you realize in here, he doesn't condemn storing up. He doesn't condemn that. He's not against money. What he's pointing to is where you're putting it. He wants us to examine that. He wants us to begin to see, hey, what is it that is motivating me? Is it my house or is it his house? Is it my security, the way I provide, or is it his security in the way that he provides? What he's continuing to do here is he's continuing to contrast two kingdoms, and now he's moved into the ROI of these two kingdoms, the return on investment. He begins to say, listen, you've got to examine where it is that you are placing your money. Is it in the kingdom of the world or will it be in the kingdom of heaven? And he's calling us, these hillside learners, those of us who are listening today, he's calling us to examine that. He wants us to examine how we handle the treasure. You realize, don't you, that all of us have a desire and a need for money. We have to get along in this world. And part of the way that the Lord provides for us is that he gives us jobs so that we can go work and so that we can provide. In days when we're unable to do that, he gives a body so that we can come alongside one another. But we also have desires, don't we? I mean, listen, all of us have desires that we want some, just a little bit more. You know, John D. Rockefeller, who by many standards, many people believe, given inflation and all of those things, was probably the most wealthy individual who's ever lived in America. He made his money on oil. He was asked one day, "How much money is enough, Mr. Rockefeller?" And without skipping a beat, he said, "Just a little bit more." You know, I think that would, if we were honest with ourselves, many of us, in fact, most of us have either been in that boat or we're still in that boat where we think, man, if I could just have a little bit more. God, if you would give me more, then I would be able to give you more. But here's the fallacy of that. If we're not giving from where we are, if we're not building up into the kingdom from where we are, he won't trust us with more. And so he's calling us now to begin to look at this. Look at verse 19. Verse 19, Jesus says this. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves." The word there, lay up, in the original language, the word lay up right there means this in Greek. It means to stockpile or to hoard. to stockpile or to hoard. And Jesus tells his listeners, don't hoard up. Don't hoard up treasure for yourself. Why? Because moths get hungry. Things rust out. Thieves will break in. This is what happens in the kingdom of the world. These are certain. This is going to happen. In first century Israel, when Jesus was writing, these Israelites, they measured wealth in just a few ways, to be real honest with you. Obviously, to have wealth, there had to be some money involved of some sort of currency, but it was exhibited through clothes, through herds, and through crops. Now, the more herds you have, the more you could sell and gain money. The more crops that you had, the more land that you had, you built or you harvested these crops, you could sell those so that others might have food. You could build bigger barns. You remember in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, when he starts talking about, you could build bigger barns. I've got all these crops. He says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? So you could build barns. Also, it was in clothing. People who had a lot of money, they could go and get clothes from far away, and they would dress in robes. They would dress in fine silk. They would be in colors. And what does Jesus say here? Jesus says to them, he says, listen, be careful because moths come in and they eat. Do you know what they made their clothes out of, don't you? Because there was a lot of sheep, there was abundance of wool. What do moths like to eat? Those of you who have, you ever been to grandma's? You've been into grandma's attic and there's this smell. They're called mothballs that have been spread around to keep the moths away from the different fabrics that are stored there, like quilts and clothes. He said, listen, moths will come in and they'll eat your clothes. Do you realize, I learned this week in my study, that the word rust out here, the word rust out in the original language of Greek that the New Testament was written in, also means, rust out means to eat away. Means to eat away. And what he's saying here is that, listen, it doesn't matter if you build bigger barns, you've got more grain, it doesn't matter if you have more clothes. Listen, the moths will come in, they'll eat your clothes, they're gonna eat up all your food. Thieves will come in, they'll dig into your house, and they'll take it all away. This is the way of the kingdom, or excuse me, the way of the world. This is what happens when we spend all of our time investing. Folks, I want to say this to you. Everyone in here, whatever you're investing in today, do you realize at some point your kids won't think it's that important and they'll take it to Goodwill when you're gone? You realize that, don't you? Because you're doing it with your parents, or you have done it with your parents. All of these things that we find so valuable that we have to have eventually will end up thrown out, worn out, rusted out, given away in a garage sale. And Jesus is saying, listen, the return on investment in those things is fleeting. It's fleeting at best. I was reading this week through in my study for this, and I ran across an article about recent 2002, okay? Recent credit card data that has been mined. Do you realize that the average person in the United States will spend around $2,300 a year on clothes and shoes? Some of you are going, is that all? Listen, that's for an individual. That's not a family, all right? The average family will spend $1,400 a year on new electronics, TVs, appliances, phones. Did you realize that we'll spend nearly $8,000 a year, $8,000 a year on food cost? If you got teenagers, it may be a little bit higher than that. And all of that is not figuring in inflation in the world in which we live today. Listen, folks, what I want you to catch is this, is that when how we use our treasure, as we stock up, as we store up, as we pile up for us, and I want to ask you that, what are you storing up for? Are you storing up for you, or are you storing up for the kingdom? Are you storing up for you primarily, or are you storing up for the kingdom? You see, Jesus is exposing right here. What he's pointing out to these folks is this, is how you handle your money, how you handle the treasure that I've given you, the treasure that I've blessed you with a job with, how you handle that is going to point to who you trust the most. What you do with that. And he begins to turn now, and he points his listeners, in this sermon, he begins to point them to a new way, the way of the kingdom, the way that we should be, the way that he encourages us to begin to stockpile money. And the way that he's going to encourage us to stockpile money, the way that he's going to encourage us to handle our treasure, I want you to know, it is the best bullish market there is. It's the safest place. No bear market will ever come against this. It is eternal. It is long-lasting. No thief, no moth, no rust, Jesus says, will ever begin to be able to touch this. And you've got to remember, I want to be really clear, he's not condemning our money. He's not condemning that we have treasure. He's not even condemning that we would like to have more treasure. What he's pointing us to is, where are you placing your heart? Are you trusting in those things over the kingdom of heaven? And he's drawing their attention to this. Notice what he says in verse 21. Verse 21 is, we think it is backwards, but he does this for a reason. Notice what he says in verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We would like to say, and we probably mix this up sometimes, when we go, "Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is." Really, what he's saying, Jesus says, you want to find where your heart is, follow the money. You know, I don't know if you listen to Real Crime Podcast. Oh, I see several of you do. You're shaking your head. You're watching Dateline, the old Dateline shows, and all of those kind of things. Listen, here's the deal. You hear this all the time. When you want to find out what's going on and where there's a crime, you always follow the money. Follow the money. Do you know what the crime of the heart is? Is that we rob God. As followers of Christ, those who have been saved, changed, transformed, who say we trust him and him alone, our hearts really reveal that. How does it reveal it? Well, it reveals it by our bank book, our credit card statement. We walk into our homes. Now, real quick, I want to be really clear. I don't want anybody to miss me. You realize that this passage, the illustrations that he's giving here, this isn't about wealthy people and poor people. This is about all people. I've never met wealthy people who don't think they have enough. I've never met people who are poor who don't think they need some more. I've got to have more. But the question is where do we put our trust? Where is our heart? Where are we finding the security? What are we doing with the treasure that he's given us? That's what he's calling us to do today. That's what he's calling us about storing up our treasure. All of us store treasure. We either store it for us or we're sending it and storing it for the kingdom of heaven. The question is today, what is it that you're doing with it? And when he's talking about kingdom spending, kingdom saving, kingdom living, when he's talking about stockpiling for the kingdom, let me define what that means, all right? What that means is when we take the funds that he's given us and we put them back into his kingdom economy. When we begin to use the funds, the treasure that he's given to us, and we begin to do that in such a way so that kingdom ministry goes on, so that good works happen for the glory of God alone. Listen, as people of the way, we ought to be funding the way more than we fund the United Way. And I'm not against the United Way. You need to hear me. They do great things. But do you realize one of the reasons we have the United Way is because people of the way aren't funding the ministries that need to happen? And so he's calling us to do those kinds of things. He says, hey, let's put our money, let's stockpile for the kingdom of heaven so that ministry can begin to go on. So ministry can happen, not just in a church, but around the world. And what begins to happen so often is this, is that we begin to find out that there may be a family in our church who needs a meal. We find out that there's a missionary who needs support. We realize that there may be a family who's in need. And we begin oftentimes evaluating, can I afford to do that? Will I be able to do that? If I do this, then I may not have enough money to do this. And folks, whenever we begin to evaluate those types of things in those types of manners, I need you to hear me. We're evaluating our kingdom, the kingdom of the world, over and against the kingdom of the way. It's a difficult word, isn't it? Listen, this week, it has set on me hard about how am I utilizing the finances that the Lord has given me? Where am I stockpiling? What does that look like? You see, what we fund first matters. What we fund first matters. And so we want to fund the kingdom of God. He says, listen, this is what kingdom investment looks like. When you faithfully give of your tithes, when you faithfully give offerings, when you find a family that's in need, we open up and we share with them. When we see that there is a missionary who is in need of support, we come in so that the gospel will continue to go. You see, that's kingdom. That's kingdom stockpiling. That's what he's calling his Hillside listeners to see, to know. That's what he's calling us to. Because he says, where your treasure is, where your money is, where you deposit it, that's where your heart will be. That's where your heart will be. When you're pouring it into people for the kingdom's sake, your heart's going to be there. When you're pouring it into a foreign country so that the gospel can go there, you think, you pray, you want to know more about what's happening in that country. When you're all about adoption and you're pouring your money into adoption ministries, you're all about and you're looking for who can help jump in. You see, where your treasure is, your heart will be there. You want to know where your heart is? Then look at where you're putting your treasure. But I need to be really clear here real quick. I want to be really, really clear. There is no amount of money that we can give that can ever earn favor with God. Okay? None. None. God cannot be bought. The reason that we fund is because we've deposited our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who died on a cross. Scripture tells us that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, not through funds, that we have our security in Jesus Christ. Because he laid his life down, because he was placed in a grave, because he rose again 3 days later and is alive today in heaven. He opened my eyes. He's opened many of your eyes in here today. And we've submitted and surrendered our lives to him. Therefore, the question is, does he have our wallet? Does he have our pocketbook? Does he have your purse? Is that, are we stockpiling for us alone? Or are we saying, Jesus, this is yours first. And what your kingdom needs, I give to you open-handed. And then we'll arrange everything else. This is what it looks like to be a follower of the way. And today, in this room right here, there are some of you in here, you've never given him your heart. Don't worry about giving him your dollars right now. Give him your life. Place your faith in him. And when we place our faith in him, he rearranges everything in us so that we have faith then to hand him over our checkbook, our pocketbook, our wallets. This is what he's calling you to today. And he says here, he says, listen, there are two kingdoms that we have to choose between. It's either the kingdom of the way, the kingdom of the world, or the kingdom of the world, or the kingdom of the way, the kingdom of heaven. And quickly, he goes on to two more things here that I want us to see. He moves with an illustration into talking about here two visions. He gives two visions in verse 22 and 23 to illustrate the passage or the point that he's just made. Read with me here. He says in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is this darkness? Jesus says that the eye is the lamp of the body. What does a lamp do? What is a lamp supposed to do? Let me say that. A lamp should light up a room. And Jesus says here, his illustration that he's trying to get us to see is that the eye is a lamp for the body. And so a healthy eye, he says, is going to let in light. And when that light begins to come in, it begins to expose the things that are inside of us. It begins to illuminate the right path. And he says, illustrating back, the right path that it is illuminating should be the way of the kingdom. And this is the way we deal with our treasure. But then he moves on and he says that an unhealthy eye doesn't let light in. It doesn't let it in any way that would be distinguishable. It's hard to see. You can't see what's going on. It's hard to recognize what it is that he wants us to see. He says the unhealthy eye allows in what should be light, but it's actually darkness. It's actually darkness. And then he goes on and says, how great is that darkness? I've had glasses, some form of vision correction since I was in the first grade. My eyes are horrible. I've always worn glasses as a small, small child. I remember being 32. I found out about an eye surgery that I could go, and hopefully it was going to correct some of my vision. I remember that day going, and I had glasses that were like so thick you could see the future. I mean, I had horrible, if I pulled them off, I could light the stage on fire and just put a little light on them. Terrible eyesight. I would have been one of the guys in Scripture that was blind in Scripture probably. I remember going and talking to the doctor, coming back. Amy and I had a conversation. She says, these are your eyes. You sure you want somebody to mess with them? I'm willing to try anything. I remember having that surgery, going in, and not being able to see, and when I walked out of there, I had 20/20 vision. I remember crying, not because of pain, but because I could see without any vision correction. Some of you are going, what happened? Well, I mean, this is old age now, right? It was unbelievable. I didn't realize how my life had been affected by my bad vision until somebody gave me healthy vision. This is what it is that Jesus is pointing out here. He's saying, listen, we don't even realize that we're stockpiling for ourselves unless the Holy Spirit, Dr. Holy Spirit, comes in and does a work on your eyes, on your vision. We think everything's good. I'm just rocking along. Some of you in here, and I want to make sure this, hold on, just so you, some of you in here, you're tithing, you give offerings so that you can check a box, but you're still chasing a dollar because you're thinking that's going to bring security down here somewhere. Just because we tithe, just because we give offerings, doesn't mean that our vision is healthy. That's works. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? You see, this isn't about health. This isn't about wealthy. This isn't about poor. This is about where your heart is as a follower of the way. And are you open to say, Jesus, you do what you want with my finances? This is about you. You realize that Jesus, that God himself funds his ministry. We can't give anything to add to him. He's the one, the psalm says, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So the money is inconsequential to him. It is about your heart, because when he gets your heart, you know what? He gets your wallet, your bank, he gets your family, he gets your car, he gets everything. You're not worried about security. And this is what it is that he's calling us to today. And the unique, ironic thing about this is that those of us who have bad vision have really good vision when we start seeing someone else and how they use their money. Because we're really good at contrasting and comparing how this person is spending with this person and how I'm spending with your spending and you're spending with what I'm spending. And we're able to go, well, they got my boy, did you see what they're driving? Do you see what they're doing? Do you see where they're, boy, they ought to be giving more to the king. Listen, we don't know what anybody's giving to the kingdom around here. Do you know what healthy and bad vision is all about? It's not so that I can see what you're doing and you see what I'm doing. It's so I can see what am I doing? You see, when the Holy Spirit opens my eyes and he illuminates my heart to see, ooh, oh, I really don't want to look at that. Because seeing that, now I have to bring it to him. And the Holy Spirit begins to examine that. And he calls us then to say, listen, you've been living as a follower of mine. You've been living in the way of the world. You've been hoarding. You've not been stockpiling. You've been hoarding up for you and yours. And he gives us the opportunity now to begin laying up, stockpiling treasure in heaven where nothing will ever get it. Nothing will ever get it. You see, listen, we're so busy. How about this? Let me bring this back to me. Because I'm the one on the internet this morning at 7:30 looking for a new pair of shoes. True confessions. I mean, what were you looking for this morning? All of us. Do you realize when we give so that a student or a kid can go to youth camp, that is eternal treasure? Do you realize when we invest in a life and they come to Jesus Christ, nothing can ever take that away? No moth, no rust, nothing can be eaten up. That's eternal. Folks, I'm not talking about a great financial investment. I'm talking about an eternal treasure that can never be taken away. And the Bible, Jesus, in this sermon on the Mount, the greatest that's ever been preached, he says, hey, followers of the way. Followers of the way. This is where we lay up treasure. This is how we stockpile. He says, listen, there's two kingdoms. There's two visions. There's a healthy vision. There's an unhealthy vision. And then he runs down here really quickly to the third point. It's this. There's two masters. There's two masters. Verse 24 says this. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is pretty definitive here with these last two sentences. Two sentences. And he gets really, really definitive. This is probably the most binary passage that I've read in the scripture. Notice this with me, okay? I want you to look at that passage. He says this, it's either the kingdom of heaven or it's the kingdom of the world. You either have a healthy vision or you have a unhealthy vision, a bad vision. And then he moves in, and then he sets his sights on who's going to be our master. And did you notice that it's either or? It's not both and. It's either or. It's not both and. He says you're either going to hate one, and then you're going to love the other. He says it's either God or it's money. Notice how he says this in verse 24. He says, you will be devoted to one and despise the other. The correlation is that whichever one you choose to love, you automatically hate the other. You know what it means to love? This verse, to love, is to be loyal to them. You're sold out to them. To despise, it's an intense anger. He says, you're either going to love me. If you love me, you're going to hate that one. But if you love this one, you're going to hate that one. He says, you can't do both. He says, you can't do both. Now, some of you right now, you're getting a little intense and you're wanting to direct it at me. But you've got to go to Jesus on this one. I'm the water carrier today. You can't do both. This is like Tennessee fan and Alabama fan. You can't root for both of them. You guys know that. You have to choose which one. And notice what he says. He says, no one can serve two masters. You realize that both of these, God and money, they demand something from us. They demand something from us. And Jesus says this. I don't know if you've caught his line of thinking here. Look, can I back it up? If you choose money as your God, and none of us in here, I don't think any of us in here, if you're a follower of Jesus, none of us in here would say that money's my God. I really don't believe that. But I think what ends up happening is that if we've chosen money as our God, it shows that we have unhealthy vision, and we begin to look around and go, my stockpile for me, my future, my family, my fun is, whew. And this over here is really small. Or we come back and we realize, okay, wait, I've chosen God. He is mine. Healthy vision, meaning I'm going to fund the way. I'm going to lay up treasure in heaven where the master is. And guys, I need you to hear me. This is really important. I'm not going to get in too far into next week. Thank you, CJ. But I need you to know who you choose determines, like, next week, are you going to be anxious about what you sleep in, what you wear, and what you eat? Because if you choose money as your master, the anxiety in your life will go up. So if your anxiety level today is high over finances, it may be an indicator of who's your master. Who is your master? And you know what Jesus says is that you have to choose. You have to choose. I have to choose. I want to ask you a couple of questions today. Have you ever stopped to think about where you're stockpiling money? I mean, like, which kingdom? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Have you ever stopped to think about, Father, what does my vision look like as it relates to my finances? Who gets what? Have you ever stopped to think about that? And again, you need to hear me. This isn't about finances as much as it is the trust of our heart and where we're finding security. Have you ever stopped to think, like right now, the choice is set before you. Will you choose to serve God or will you choose to serve money? Here's the response today. This is our choice. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you not to worry about finances for a moment. I want to ask you to worry about faith in Him. Would you surrender your life to Him? We've prayed this morning that you would. For those of you in here who have surrendered your life to Him, you say, listen, I'm a follower of the way. Here's your response. I'm going to ask that you would spend a few moments here asking the Holy Spirit, which kingdom am I walking in? Listen, Jesus, you're mine, but what does my faith in my finances, does it display which one? I'm going to ask you to take a few moments today at lunch. Hear this. I'm going to ask you to take a few moments today at lunch, and as a family, husband and wife, kids, I'm going to ask you to talk to one another about, hey, how are we laying up treasure in the kingdom? What are we doing? What are we doing? What does that look like for you? And then very really today, if you're not investing in the kingdom, If you're not tithing, we want to help you know how to do that. If you're not giving offerings, we want to help you know how to do that. If you want to be involved in a missionary, we want to help you do that. You want to be involved in helping a family that's in need, you come and see us. We want to help you do that. There are so many kingdom ministries that LifePoint Riverdale is involved in, and we want to help you stockpile, lay up heaven, lay up treasure in heaven. You know, this week, as I'm praying through this passage, as I'm studying for this passage, I began to think about, like, my niece, all the little trinkets and treasure things that I grab, and I think, treasure, this is mine. And this week, I had to bring a lot of those trinkets and lay them down and say, they're yours. Father, I love you and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit reveals to us and calls to us. I'm thankful, Father, that you can fund my family. I'm thankful that you care about the clothes I wear. I'm thankful that you care about the food that I eat, the places that I live. I'm thankful that those things matter to you. Father, I pray that you would forgive me for letting them matter more than you at times. Father, I ask that you would not make me a slave to master money. You've bought me. You've changed me. You brought me from death to life. And may you have everything today. Jesus, we magnify you. I'm asking that you would save people today. I'm asking that you would open our eyes. We thank you for the stewardship of your money. Thank you that you've entrusted it to us. And now may we use it in a way that honors you, that lets us and the world know that you are our master. Today, our response is, one, to pray through these things. You may want to come to this altar and kneel and pray. The worship team's going to be leading us in singing in a few moments. I'll be down front. I'd love to pray with you. If you want to know how to surrender your life to Christ, I'll be here. I'll be back at the back when the service is over. What he's called us towards today, would you be willing to step out in faith in those things? Father, we love you, we honor you, and ask that you do your work now. In the name of Jesus, I ask these things. Amen.